Okay, good morning again. The problem of suffering, as we all know, is a perennial subject, isang tema ito na hindi mawawala ng panahon na nararapat nating pag-usapan sapagkat sa kabi-kabilang panig, nakikita natin ang iba't ibang uri ng mga paghihirap, mga kabigatan, at nagiging pinakamalalim na palaisipan ito kung ang naghihirap ay taong matuwid, taong sumusunod sa Diyos, taong lingkod ng Panginoon. This is precisely the topic that we find in the book of Job. Kaya ang naging paksa natin sa buwan na ito, suffering, and the book of Job has become a favorite to many, not only to Christians in fact, but to those who do not profess the Christian faith, but they find in the book of Job something which speaks to their need. Yung paksa na may kinalaman sa palaisipan ng paghihirap, at ito ay dapat nating maunawaan from the Christian standpoint. After all, the book of Job, of course, is part of the scriptures, part of what we believe to be the word of God, kaya hindi lamang ito para sa atin ay pilosopiya. Nangyari ang pangyayaring ito sa katauhan ni Job at yung kanyang apat na kaibigan. Yung bulk of the material is between Job and his three friends. Pero pagkatapos nito ay pumasok naman si Elihu, at ang makikita natin sa kanilang naging mga pag-uusap ay paano sasagutin ang palaisipan ng paghihirap ni Job. Isang taong matuwid, ngunit naghihirap, naglingkod sa Diyos, ngunit ngayon ay binibigyan ng kabigatan ng Diyos. At yan ang ang ating tinatalakay ngayon sa between Job and his friends. At dito, tinignan natin ang struktura ng Book of Job ay sa talagang pangyayari, it is pre-Mosaic, bago pa si Moses yung pangyayari mismo. Kaya nga nagsakripisyo si Job ng bilang ama ng kanyang tahanan, hindi yan pwede sa panahon ni Moses na mga saserdote lamang. Pero yung pagkasulat ay panahon ng mga Solomonic period when wisdom literature was very popular. And so we categorize the Book of Job as wisdom literature, at mahalaga yan dahil ang wisdom literature, ang talagang paksa niyan ay wisdom. Wisdom either human wisdom or more likely divine wisdom, at yan ang tinatalakay dito. But we see in the book of Job, the redemptive focus is that of righteous suffering. And then, tinignan natin, sinasagot nila yung palaisipan, paano mo ipapaliwanag ang paghihirap ng isang taong matuwid? Paano mo ipapaliwanag yung suffering? At yung lahat ng mga pantaong sagot, they always fail of the real answer. For example, in the case of the friends, tinignan nila ito by way of syllogism. Para sa kanila, kung ang Diyos ay makatarungan, hindi niya papahintulot na maghirap ang isang matuwid. That's their major premise. Eh, naghihirap si Job. Kaya ang conclusion nila, tiyak nagkasala si Job. And because he is suffering greatly, Job must have sinned greatly. And we know how cruel that approach was to Job, because pinakilala sa atin si Job sa pagsisimula ng book na isang taong matuwid, hindi taong dahil sa kanyang kasalanan ay pinapahirapan ng Diyos. And then Job himself was wrong. Para kay Job, ang tension niya, may paniniwala siya sa Diyos. God as just will not punish the innocent. Now you will notice here na yung premise ni Job, pareho din sa premise ng kanyang mga kaibigan, na kapag matuwid o makatarungan ng Diyos, hindi siya magpapahirap ng walang kasalanan. So with this belief, Job appeals to God. But then, on the other hand, his conscience tells him or affirms his innocence and righteousness, and he comes to some points in the book where he accuses God. Very pointedly, pag tinignan natin yung ilang mga pangungusap niya, maninindig ang balahibo mo sa mga sinasabi niyang pagbibintang sa Diyos. So you see here a man who is struggling with his belief in God and his conscience that affirms his righteousness. And then comes Elihu, the youngest of all, yet we can say na siya ang may binigay na marunong ding pagpapayo, because he begins with the sovereignty of God. Soberano ang Diyos, at kapag ang soberanong Diyos ay nakitungo sa isang naghihirap, may tama na sinabi si Elihu na marunong, he begins with the premise that God is greater than man. Sa mga katuwid, hindi maaaring pumantay si Job sa Diyos na parang aakusahan niya because God is greater than man. But then, the wrong point of Elihu is he speaks in a manner na parabang because God is sovereign, napakataas niya, napakaliit ng tao, wala siyang pakialam sa nangyayari sa tao. At ang nangyayari nga, kay kasalanan man yan, kay katuwiran, walang pakialam ang Diyos. So, in Elihu's treatment of God's sovereignty, it comes to the point where man becomes nothing to God. At ang punto natin dito, pakaingatan natin ang paggamit ng tema ng pagkasoberano ng Diyos. This is dear to us. We are reformed in our theology and the doctrine of God's sovereignty is very important to us. Pero in the hands of unbalanced treatment, it can become cruel. And it became cruel in the hand of Elihu. Kaya pakaingatan po natin. Kaya mula dito ay titingnan natin paano ito ngayon sinagot ng Diyos. Now, God in the book of Job, in the structure, appears twice, at the beginning and towards the end. There are two appearances of God. Yung una ay yung kanyang confrontation with Satan. Now, ayokong ma-drift yung ating discussion, paano nag-usap ang Diyos at si Satan, at paano siyang sumama sa mga tinawag na sons of God, the angels, paano siyang nasama sa council. Those are interesting topics, but that will drift us away from the real central focus, kaya wag yun ang ating pag-usapan muna. Pero sa confrontation niya with Satan, and then sa kahulihan, his confrontation with Job. At ang leksyon sa confrontation with Satan is the issue of true devotion. While in the case of Job, the issue was true humiliation. Now, I'll explain that later. But sa kanyang confrontation with Satan, the issue was, can man exercise devotion to God apart from benefits from God? Kumbaga, kaya lang ba nagiging tapat sa iyo ang iyong lingkod ay dahil pinagpapala mo? Yan ang akusasyon ni Satan. At ang ginamit niyang showcase ay si Job, na kaya lang tapat sa iyo ang lingkod mong si Job ay dahil pinagpapala mo siya. At ang hamon niya ay galawin mo ang kanyang mga ari-arian, ang kanyang mga tinatangkilik, at susumpain ka niya. This was the charge of Satan. Sabi niya sa 1:9-11, you have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has and he will curse you to your face. At ang nangyari nga, pinahintulot ng Diyos, and here is again God's sovereignty in display, na siya ang nagpapahintulot pero siya rin ang naglalagay ng hangganan, hanggang dito lang. So, do not touch him. You can touch his properties. At the way it is presented, magugulat tayo. Dahil una, humangos ang isang alipin. Isang alipin niya, binalita na yung kanya mga tupa, mga hayop, ay nasalanta na lahat. At hindi pa rin siya tapos magsalita, may humahangos na namang lingkod at alipin, at nagbalita naman na yung kanyang mga taniman, mga ari-arian, ay nasalanta na lahat. At hindi pa rin tapos magsalita itong ikalawa, humahangos na naman ang ikatlo, na sumalakay daw ang mga tulisan na Chaldeans at pinatay lahat ng kanyang mga anak. Eh, kung ikaw nandoon, ina-absorb mo pa lang yung unang balita, biglang hindi pa tapos may ikalawang balita at ikatlong balita na puro mga nasalanta, may mga nag-aral ng kaya nating dalhin na stress. Pag lumampas daw yan sa mga sobra-sobra sa loob ng isang taon, madali tayo mag-emotional breakdown. Isang taon yun. Si Job, siguro in a minute, sunod-sunod na ganitong balita ang dumating sa kanya. Dito makikita natin yung kalupitan ng Diablo. Kung gusto niyang talagang saktan ang isang mananampalataya, here, Satan is of course moving by the sovereign permission of God, but when he is given free rein, he is cruel. And he means no good as far as God's people are concerned. Naalala niyo si Paul, nag-speak siya, we were hindered by Satan. There was a messenger of Satan. So anything satanic is cruel. But even then, he can only move, makakakilos lamang ang Diablo sa pahintulot ng Diyos. So ito nga ang nangyari, na wala na lahat ng kanyang mga ari-arian, pero tapat pa rin si Job. At ang sabi ngayon ni Satanas, skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. Sabi ni Satanas, salingin mo yung kanyang buhay mismo, yung kanyang katauhan mismo. Lahat mga ari-arian lang niya at mga mahal niya sa buhay, siya mismo ang iyong salingin. At ang hamon niya, stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Again, that's satanic charge. Ang sinasabi niya riyan, yung devotion ng isang lingkod ng Diyos dahil lang sa siya'y pinagpapala. And here, we see in the initial stage, at least, Job proved true in his devotion to God. And in that way, Satan's charges were belied. Kumbaga, napatunayan na ang isang tao ay maaring magkaroon ng tunay na devosyon sa Diyos na hindi dahil sa kanyang mga pagpapala. Kaya unang tugon ni Job, nung mawala na lahat ng kanyang mga ari-arian, pati ang kanyang mga anak, anong sabi niya, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is one of the great memory verses we should have from the book of Job. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Ano man yung the Lord gave? The Lord gave you position, the Lord gave you wealth, the Lord gave you things that you enjoy. Well, suppose God takes them away. Ito ang devotion ni Job. Binigay ng Diyos, kinuha niya, karapatan niya yun, pagpapalain ko pa rin siya. And hindi lamang yan, nang mismo ang asawa niya, binubuyo na siya. Anong sabi niya, shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? So, in the initial stage, which is the context, siyempre hindi alam ni Job, pero ang context is the confrontation between God and Satan. The test is whether there can be devotion to God apart from benefits from God. Job was a good showcase. Hamunin natin yung sarili natin. Yung ating devotion sa Panginoon, yung ating katapatan sa paglilingkod, maaaring nasa punto kang pinagpapala, may maganda kang kalagayan, yun ba ang dahilan na ikaw ay nagtatapat, nagpapakatapat sa iyong paglilingkod? Kung yun ang dahilan, then you are just proving Satan true because that's his charge. Paano kung bawiin ang Panginoon? So that was the test on Job, and he proved to be a good showcase. This is devotion. Devotion to God is because of who God is. The character of God. Kumbaga, na mangha ka kung ano ang Diyos, kung sino siya, at ikaw ay nagbigay ng katapatan sa Kanya for who God is. And because of the Word of God. Now, under true devotion is just self-promotion. Kung ang binibigay o ginagawa mo para sa Diyos ay dahil sa mga pagpapala niya, at kapag tumigil yung pagpapala, tumitigil din yung ating devotion or yung ating katapatan sa Kanya, it's not devotion, it's just self-promotion. And this is a real challenge sa atin. Paano mo patutunayan ang iyong katapatan sa Diyos? At kung bawiin niya ang mga ipinagkakaloob niyang pagpapala, magiging tapat ka pa rin ba sa Kanya? Yan ang hamon sa atin. But there is here a gospel note dito sa ginawa na devotion ni Job. This is but a shadow of the greatest devotion of all, which is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alam natin sa context na yan, sinabi na yan na he was equal with God, but he did not seize his equality with God, but became a servant. And sinabi ng 2:8, being found in human form, he humbled himself. Now, kung isipin natin, descending stair ito ng humiliation o ng pagpapakababa ng Panginoon, in human form, he could have chosen human form in royalty. But it's human form as a servant. Now, as a servant, he became obedient. Now, he could become obedient in other callings. Instead, it became obedient to death. Now, it could be a death of a hero. Instead, it was a death of the most shameful kind, of the worst kind, death on the cross. So kung titingnan natin ang sinasabi ni Paul dyan, it's going lower and lower. From God to becoming man, being man, he chose to be a servant. As a servant, he chose obedience, obedience to death, death of the lowest kind, death on the cross. And the point is, he was the most undeserving of suffering. Sabihin natin na si Job at one point was undeserving of suffering, misunderstood, pero in the case of Jesus, he did not deserve to suffer at all, but he did. That's devotion. Yan ang itanong natin sa ating sarili, meron ba tayong gayong devotion? Now, take note, at this point, God is not giving an answer to suffering. He is just proving what devotion is, whether you suffer or not, you are devoted to God for who He is and for His Word. So, in the first appearance of God, it was in confrontation with Satan. Now, the second appearance of God is towards the end. After nang magsalita, magpalitan ni Job at ng tatlong kaibigan, after na magsalita ni Elihu, suddenly God appears through a whirlwind at ang hamon niya kay Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dressed for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me." Now, hindi ito bullying. In fact, God is condescending. Diba, si Job, hinamon niya ng hinamon ng Diyos to the point of accusing God. And God is saying, in other words, well, here I am. Dress up for confrontation. Let's argue, let's debate. And that's what God is telling Job. And that is an act of condescension on the part of God, because God could have just stricken Job off and his friends because of their offense, yet God condescended in order to challenge Job. And this is now by way of, instead of answers, what God does is ask questions. Not just ask questions, more than 70 unanswerable questions. And nandito ka, naghahanap ka ng sagot, ang bumalik sa iyo mga tanong. But the questions are of such a nature that you get the point. You sometimes have that encounter with people and you debate and then he asks you questions that you cannot answer and you get the point. And that is what God is doing to Job. And his questions involve issues like origin. Let's just look at the range of questions. It asks questions concerning origin. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And then by way of irony, 38:21 says, "You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great." Parang sinasabi, o di ba, pinanganak ka na siguro noon. Kaya alam na alam mo. And of course, it's just irony. Job is being confronted with the fact, you were not there. And I was there. Now, let me just point out this. I believe that the issue of origin is still a very important issue for the Christian in our dialogue with the world. Some Christians think that this is an optional thing. You can believe in creation, and others can believe in evolution. That's fine, and we can just still fellowship together. I don't think so. Now, there can be different readings of Genesis. And I was saying this to the panel of Kalinga Sanilikha last Sunday. There can be different readings of Genesis, yet we still believe in creation. And I can argue with those who have a different reading. I believe in six-day creation, and I can argue that from Genesis, but others may have a different reading and still believe in creation. But for those who reject creation, that's another thing, because the issue of origin continues to be an important distinctive of Christian belief. At dito kay Job, ito ang itinatanong niya. At hindi lamang concerning origin, there were other questions pertaining to the movements of nature. "Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Now, there is again something important that is implied here. Mourning only dawns on us by God's command. Now, we know, and because we are scientific-minded, we can all argue about Earth's rotation and all these natural laws that this will happen as it happens every day. But in biblical view, whatever the natural secondary causes, the first cause is still God. Then he asks him about unreachable heavenly bodies, such as the constellations. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? So stars and constellations. Then he comes to animal world. Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God for help and wander about for lack of food? Now, to us, you may have watched documentaries by the National Geographic, and we are awed by the animal behavior and all their cycles of hunting and prey and predators. Yet again, this reminds us that all this happened by the guidance and providence of God. To Job, he must have not even thought of those animal behaviors. And God is asking him. And then there is in the Old Testament a mysterious entity which represents all the uncontrollable forces of nature, and it is called Leviathan, sometimes Behemoth. Scholars have debated on this. Ano itong Leviathan na ito? But it seems to be just a representation of all the uncontrollable forces in creation, in nature. And if you read the whole chapter of Job 41, it is all about the Leviathan, how uncontrollable by man, yet God controls him. So mag-isip ka na ng mga pinaka-uncontrollable sa creation, and God is in control, whether it is tsunami, storm surge, other natural phenomena that we have dealt with, God is in control. At ito ang hinahamon ng Panginoon kay Job. Nauunawaan ng Panginoon, ikaw ay nasasaktan sa mga nangyari sa buhay mo, sa pamilya mo, sa ari-arian mo, at sa malalapang sitwasyon, tinubuan ka pa ng pigsa sa buong mong katawan. Eh, talagang malala ito. But God is asking him, you're mindful of that, and I am minding all of this. Do you think I have skipped? I have had oversight na overlukubang sitwasyon mo? I'm mindful of nature, of constellations, of stars, of animal behaviors, of Leviathan. I'm mindful of those. Do you think I have overlooked you? That's the point of this question. Sa palagay mo, nalimutan kita, samantalang inaalala ko ang lahat ng mga ito. And so, in the face of all these unanswerable questions, Job's response is the point of this test. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. It's like you've heard of someone and people are speaking very well of him, ikaw naman medyo ayaw pang maniwala. So, sabi mo, oh, baka ganito lang yan. And pagkatapos, nasalubong mo, nakatagpo mo, na-encounter mo, and suddenly you realize everything is more than what you have heard of him. And this is what Job is saying in his figure of speech. Before, you were third person. Now, it's you and me. It's encounter, a personal encounter with God. And in a personal encounter with God, there can only be one response. Doon kay Satan, in the encounter with Satan, the issue was through devotion. In the case of Job, it was through humiliation. Now, I know that the more popular term is humility. And humiliation has a bent of meaning that we often associate with embarrassment, shame, and that is not how theologically it is used. Humiliation has the idea of dealing with sin, the reality of sin. So Job said, I repent. I repent. That's part of humiliation for a sinner, through repentance from sin. You cannot deal with God and have an encounter with His holiness and justice without the realization of your sinful condition. Yan ang sinasabi natin dito. Hindi mo makikilala ang Diyos na hindi mo makikita ang iyong pagkamakasalanan. Ang taong salita ng salita tungkol sa Diyos, ngunit walang salita ng pagsisisi sa kasalanan, hindi niya talaga nakikilala ang Diyos because it is impossible. So it will be just like Job. They have heard by the hearing of the ears. They have not met with God personally. Because when you do, it is impossible not to repent. It is impossible not to be conscious of sin. And consciousness of sin includes contrition, in the sense of your lowliness in the face of this exalted being who God is. So pinagsama yung pagsisisi at kabagbagan ng loob. That's true humiliation, which is what is engendered in Job. Ito ang nangyari kay Job at ito ang dapat nating maging tugon sa harap ng pagkahirapan. You see, the answer is not put in proposition philosophical terms. Why the suffering? The answer is God. If you know God, then you will have devotion to Him whether or not you are suffering. And if you know God, you will be more mindful of your sinfulness rather than your suffering. And again, this brings us to the gospel note of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of God. As I've said, the suffering of Christ is the most undeserved, yet it has a redemptive nature. So, in concluding then our reflection on Job, let me draw the following lessons, concluding reflections. The first is, any philosophical method to vindicate God will prove inadequate. Itong ginawa ng mga tao rito, three friends, Job, Elihu, they all tried to answer the question, why is the righteous suffering? And they thought they can answer the question through human reasoning, through philosophical propositions. And it always fails. Any human reasoning without God's revelation will always fall short of the wisdom of God. At yan yung arrogance ng mga nagpipilit magsalita na kung ano dapat ang ginagawa ng Diyos. Kasama na dyan yung mga atheist. Marami akong na-encounter na atheist, hindi naniniwala sa Diyos, pero galit na galit sa Diyos. O di ba yung, kung may Diyos, bakit ang dami naghihirap? Bakit maraming masasamang hindi napaparusahan? O hindi sila naniniwala sa Diyos, pero galit na galit sa Diyos. At meron pa na other beliefs that try to apprehend God by mere human reasoning, and it will always fail. Because God, being the exalted being that He is, we will not know Him unless He reveals Himself. This is the essential nature of revelation. God will not be known unless He reveals Himself. And this is the arrogance of trying to dissect God by human reasoning, human philosophy. We can never put God in the cranium of our heads and think we can contain Him. Hindi kaya. So, isa yan. Ikalawa, suffering and specific sins cannot always be linked in every case. Kaya sa kahulihan, eto ngayon, matapos ang pagmamarunong ng tatlong kaibigan, sinaway sila ngayon ng Diyos. Job 42:7, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my anger burns against you and against your two friends. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So, sinaway sila ng Diyos, yung kanilang pagpipilit, na kaya naghihirap si Job dahil sa kasalanan, galit ang Diyos sa ganung pagpapaliwanag. So let us be careful. Diyan tayo mag-ingat. Let us be careful in counseling those who are suffering and impose on them guilt simply because they are suffering. If God's anger burns against that kind of explanation, let us beware of that kind of counseling. Job called it miserable counselors. And we can be that when we approach sufferers in that way. So isang pag-iingat yan sa atin. So let us, then the third lesson, let us not worry about defending the ways of God. Eh, yan ang pinipilit ng apat dito. Yun, the three friends, even Job, and then Elihu. The book of Job exposes the folly of seeking to defend God's ways. You see, God can defend himself as Job, as this book shows us, ang tao ang dapat sumagot. The Lord said to Job, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it." So in other words, God does not need to be defended by the puny reasoning of man. At ang kailangan dito ay hayaan natin ang Diyos ang magsalita sa pamamagitan ng kanyang salita sa atin ngayon. Through the Word of God, we proclaim what the Word of God says without need to defend him philosophically. Then, fourthly, God has a wise purpose for permitting suffering to the righteous. So none of the human speakers in this book was aware of the heavenly counsel. Nagsasalita sila na hindi nila alam ang nangyari soon sa heavenly counsel, which means they will always fall short. There was a purpose for the suffering. And in the case of Job, what we find is Job is among those in the Old Testament singled out for being a holy man. We have a case of that in Ezekiel. Yung pinapakitang the hopelessness of Judah, God said, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver but their own lives by their righteousness, declares the Lord God. What he is saying is, even if the best of men intercede on your behalf, nothing will save you from the exile. And the best of men singled out were Noah, Daniel, and Job. And then, inulit pa yan, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job, which shows that Job was singled out as among the holiest of men, and he was a man who suffered. And this is true of suffering. Suffering saints radiate a gracious character born of experience. Let me quote to you one of my favorite mentors, John Stott, who said in his book, The Cross of Christ, "Biblical teaching and personal experience combine to teach that suffering is the path to holiness or maturity. There is always an indefinable something about people who have suffered. They have a fragrance which others lack. They exhibit a meekness and gentleness of Christ." And isn't it true? Sa experience natin, when we deal with people who have gone through suffering and yet remain devoted to God, remained humble, there's something about their character that just infects you, that just spiritually fragrant to us. And that's something that we need to learn from Job. From the cross of Christ, we are given the pattern of suffering. Suffering in order to be exalted in holiness, in graciousness. God uses suffering. The one New Testament reference to Job is about that grace for which he excelled. "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Take note, the end of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord for the suffering is something that terminates on who he is, to prove that he is compassionate. He is merciful. So in other words, the real answer to the question, why is the righteous suffering? You do not need an answer. You just need God. And rest satisfied in who God is. And that is the answer. He is the answer to our suffering. He has a purpose. We may not know now, but He has a purpose. And therefore, with that answer, I say, case dismissed. No sense in the philosophizing of the friends, or even of Job, or even of Elihu. The answer of the book of Job to suffering is not a philosophy, not a rationalization, but rather who God is. And with this God, again, case dismissed. Any question? Any question or any thought that you'd like to raise concerning this issue of suffering, especially the suffering of the righteous? Anyone? Don't dismiss me yet. Any question or thoughts? We just concluded one of the most discussed books of the Bible. I would like to suppose you have something to discuss.
In the case of Job, we have seen that as righteous as he was, hindi niya maipaliwanag yung ways ng Panginoon Diyos. So, mahirap na sa kanya. E di sigurado mas mahirap sa isang tao na hindi nakakakilala sa Diyos. So, how do we approach those kind of situation that we could be confronted with? Napakahirap kasi yung paliwanag.
Well, again, the lesson that we learned from Job is not to jump to the conclusion that there is a correlation between the person's sin and the suffering that he is enduring. We avoid that, yet at the same time, we explain the reality of suffering in the world is because of the fallenness of man, not necessarily any particular sin of this man, but suffering in the world is generally because we live in a fallen world, and it is therefore an opportunity to open to Him the way God has planned and has implemented the way to right what is wrong with the world, and that is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you deal with people who do not know the Lord, in their suffering, it is always an opportunity for gospel witness. Of course, there's the need for sympathy. As we have learned, there is the need for silence at certain points of the gravity of their suffering. But then also at a certain point, we use the opportunity for gospel witness. Other questions? Other thoughts? Mangzaldi.
Pastor, tanong ko po, lahat ng bagay po ay makukuha ni Satan, ngunit ang buhay ni Job ay hindi kayang kuha. Kuhanin ni Satan, yung kanyang mga material wealth, kinuha ni Satan, pati na yung pamilya niya.
Winasak po, hindi niya kinuha. Winasak niya, pininsala niya lahat ng mga ari-arian, mga tinatangkilik ni Job. Gumawa siya ng paraan na sirain, and then kasama na yung buhay ng kanyang mga anak.
Si Satan, pwedeng makipag-confrontation sa God.
Ay, nangyari nga po, dito sa Book of Job, there was a confrontation between God and Satan played his role as accuser. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng kanyang pangalan, na siya'y tagapagbintang, at yan nga ang ginawa ni Satan sa istorya ni Job, magbintang. And at the initial stage of the narrative, he was proven wrong by the devotion of Job. Other thoughts or questions? John.
Out of curiosity lang po, would Satan have been continually active even after nung boils and sores, and in what way would he have been
continually active after?
And active in parang tempting Job or dun sa mga nangyari na counseling na?
Well, definitely he would have, until now, he's active in his evil design of tempting the saints, making them fall. Yan ang gawain niya. May sinabi pa nga sa Revelation 12 na all the more he is busy and full of anger, knowing that his time is short. Meaning, the very fact that we are living in the last days when Jesus has fulfilled the plan of God, we are even more the object of Satan's wiles. He is even more active today. But our advantage is that we have the complete Word of God, which Job did not have. Remember yung sinabi natin, pre-Mosaic, ang storya ni Job, yung event, si Job mismo nabuhay pre-Mosaic times, which means there was no scripture then. Whatever Word of God he had must be either direct revelation or other ways, but he had no scripture. We have complete scripture. So we have all the advantages, yet at the same time, we have all the more earnestness of satanic hosts in fighting against us. Glenn.
The popular verse, Job 1:21, is it appropriate to use it during the time of may namatayan, death, or and even for non-Christians to give that verse to show that God gave, God take it away, blessed be the name of God?
Well, for the Christian, yes. Even if the yung namatay, it doesn't show that the children of Job were righteous children, because yung pinakita sa chapter 1 ay namumuhay sila sa kalayawan, etc. So I don't think there is any case for the righteousness of Job's children. And yet, when they died, Job uttered those memorable words. And I believe it is right for Christians to adopt that attitude in times of their sorrow and even bereavement. I mean, just be sensitive to the context. Baka nasa wake, bigla kang magsabi ng ganun, ma-offend yung mga nagdadalamhati. But the attitude is right for Christians to take. Other thoughts?
Pastor, hindi ko alam kung tama itong thoughts ko, no? I can't remember din kasi that specific verse, pero in the New Testament, sinasabi na God will not give us something which we cannot handle by His grace. Diba? So, of course, I don't know, wala pa ba, dahil wala pa si Kristo noon, nung si Job ay tinetempt na tempt or what, na bumigay na siya or what, kaya sinisisi niya na ang Diyos. How do we relate those two?
I mean, whatever truths God permits, He permits in a way that is proportionate to the grace that He provides. Pero hindi ibig sabihin na laging magtatagumpay ang Kristiyano laban sa mga paghihirap o tukso ng Diablo. You're referring to 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, but the Lord will provide a way of escape. You will notice there, yung no temptation shall overtake you, but what God has permitted is a different thing when the Christian is overtaking temptation. Magkaibang direction yun. Temptation overtaking you, or you are overtaking temptation. Kung ikaw naghahabol sa temptation, you will fall. But temptation overtaking you, God will provide the way of escape.
Yung suffering is a way of, could be a way for God to call Christians, lalo na't nagkakasala, no? Pero halimbawa for a non-believer, could God still use suffering to call the person?
Oh, yes.
And if yes, baka naman sabihin ng iba, ayoko na sa Diyos mo, papahirapan pa pala ako bago ako tawagin. Ang gusto ko lamang ay ginhawa. How do we answer that kind of thought?
Well, one of the means that God uses to call an unbeliever to faith is suffering. We were not saying that that is the only way, but that is one of the ways na gagamitin ng Diyos para tawagin ang isang makasalanan sa pananampalataya. Now, the attitude that says na I want convenience and I don't want the kind of faith that calls to suffering, well, that's exactly why he cannot come to faith, is because of that mentality that he only wants God for his blessing and convenience, which is the issue between God and Satan. Pinapatunayan yung true devotion. Kung ang isang tao ay gusto lang ang Diyos para sa kanyang ginhawa at pagpapala, hindi niya talaga gusto ang Diyos na nagpahayag ng kanyang sarili. Gusto niya ng Diyos ng sarili niyang konsepto. So, the God of the Scriptures is the God who revealed himself chiefly through his suffering son. Therefore, suffering is a big part of the Christian life. Sa Colossians 1:24, may sinabi nga doon si Paul na he is suffering to fill what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. Now, that does not mean there was anything insufficient in the suffering of Christ. It only means the suffering of Christ calls Christians to similar suffering. Kumbaga, hindi pa tapos ang suffering na yun. Tapos na as far as redemption, but as far as his people are concerned, hindi pa tapos yun dahil maghihirap din ang kanyang mga lingkod. Pero sa pamamagitan ng paghihirap, we will share in his glory. That's part of the Christian life, and we must accept it with humility. And that's the challenge to Job. Liwai?
Selfish pa po or mali yung pagkunwari someone's in parang suffering through something and parang ayaw niyang sabihin sa ano, like to people para ano, kahit to ask for prayer kasi parang ayaw niyang i-burden sila na parang to worry about that person or ganun.
Well, there are people you need not tell it to kung hindi edifying sa kanila. But on the other hand, being in a church, it is expected of believers to share one another's burdens, Romans chapter 12. And it is one of the ways we bear our burdens is by sharing it with others. Not share it with all, but share it with people who can exercise Christian sympathy. And kung minsan, kung sinasarili natin, mas madali tayong bibigay sa kabigatan natin because we don't let others bear with us those heaviness. And in the church, God's people are expected to bear one another's burdens. Teng.
Do you think, Pastor, there's a Christian who doesn't experience any suffering at all? If he does, it's just minor trials na for him, it's not suffering. And if there is such, do you think he should start rethinking his standing before God?
Well, siguro kung naging Kristiyano siya at namatay agad, baka wala siyang pinagdaan ng suffering. Pero any Christian of any reasonable period, di ba sabi sa Hebrews 12, yun daw walang chastisement, then he is not a true child of God because there is no true child who does not receive chastisement. So just in terms of chastisement, we will all have that of one degree to another. Now, there are some who suffer greatly for one reason or another in God's wisdom. They suffer more than others. So walang same degree, walang sameness ng degree ng suffering. Some suffer more than others. But I believe that suffering is part of the Christian life, and your attitude as a Christian is tested by suffering. So you will have your Esther moments. If I perish, I perish. Any last thoughts?
Mention yung Pastor na we should not worry about defending the ways of God. Is this only in the context of parang trying to determine His will? Or para paano ba? How do you contrast this against the mandate to defend the faith?
Well, we defend the faith, but in terms of, for example, the existence of God, maraming nag-aabala, many occupy themselves with proving the existence of God or proving the holy ways of God, and they have philosophical ways of doing that. Christian history is replete with examples of proofs of God, but in the biblical approach, there's no such systematic proving of God. In fact, the way the Bible opens, as one commentator puts it, the Bible opens very rudely, without even and asking for permission, it opens with, in the beginning, God. No systematic proving that there is God, it just proclaims that there is God. Now, as to truths, there's a subject I teach, which is apologetics, which is defending the faith. We defend the faith against errors, but I'm talking of defending God. God has his way of proving himself when he vindicates his own existence and his own way to a man. God will do something that bears his signature, and that's what I was saying tungkol sa Esther. God's name is not mentioned, but you see the signature of God all over the place. And that's how God proves himself to those who question him. Meron kasing branch of philosophy known as theodicy. Theodicy is affirming God in times of suffering. And theodicy in many ways is very philosophical, and it does not really defend God. We don't need to defend God when we try to explain suffering. Meron pa? Well, I trust we have learned much from the book of Job. I thought I have shared to you that this is the subject which is the equivalent of a masteral thesis to me in London Theological Seminary, and I have found it very, very profitable, and especially when I discovered this approach to the book of Job, answering the puzzle of why the righteous suffer, and the answer is not a proposition, not a philosophy, but God himself. And when God is the answer, there will be no case against God. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you indeed for guiding us through this marvelous book of Job. And as this book contains so many thoughts, propositions, arguments in trying to answer the puzzle of why the righteous suffer, grant that we may receive the answer that comes from you. In your confrontation with Satan, it is to prove what true devotion is. It is not something that is ulterior in motive. It is a devotion that is based on who you are and based upon your word. And in your confrontation with Job himself, it shows true humiliation, one that has repentance from sin and contrition for lowliness. May we therefore understand that the answer to the puzzle is not in any proposition, not in any philosophy, not in any human argument, but only in who you are. And it all takes God to answer our suffering. And therefore, when we go through our own periods of suffering, may we rest satisfied and content in the thought that God is in control. God has a purpose. And as we have learned from the New Testament citation of Job, we learn from his patience that God has an end, has a purpose for suffering, to show yourself compassionate and merciful. And may we see in all this question of suffering, the ultimate suffering itself, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered in the most undeserved fashion, and yet he suffered as Redeemer of sinners. And we pray for everyone here to know of that suffering in a personal and in a redemptive fashion. So we give you back all the glory, and give us wisdom in using the book of Job and all of the scriptures in counseling those who suffer and in dealing with ourselves in times of suffering. May we rest content in the wisdom of our God. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.